On a Sabbath, so begins our Gospel reading from Luke. Jesus is actually on the road with his disciples, and like every good Jewish male, he comes to the local synagogue for Sabbath worship, and because he is recognized as a rabbi, the leader of the synagogue has invited him to read the scriptures and to give a commentary on them. And it seems that from the way the gospel reads, that his eyes fall then on a woman bent over, present somehow in the synagogue. Now, before Jesus says a single word, this woman represents trouble for the synagogue officials, who care very, very much about the rules for Sabbath worship. She's a woman. And she's unaccompanied. A woman in the synagogue during worship is out of place. Now, perhaps because of her condition, she was unable to get there early enough to get behind the screen that separated the women from the men. Or perhaps it was a synagogue where the women met in a gallery upstairs. And again, because of her crippled state, she couldn't climb the stairs. So perhaps she's shuffling around at the back, trying to be inconspicuous. So she's an embarrassment to the men. And even if she wasn't breaking the rules, they would rather not look at her twisted, crippled body. But Jesus not only looks at her, he calls her forward. And I imagine that he probably stooped down so he could look her in the eye. And he pronounces her free from her affliction, and he touches her. What no rabbi would ever do, to touch a woman other than his wife. And in receiving his blessing, this once bent woman is not only healed, but she's elevated to the status of a male, for only a male received a blessing in that culture. The problem with Jesus is that he dared to see the Sabbath in another way than do the religious leaders. He saw it as a day for healing. In Jesus' eyes, in fact, there's no better day, no better thing to do on the Sabbath than, in the words of the old spiritual, to make the wounded whole, to heal the sin-sick soul. The better the day, the better the deed. Now, if you recognized my title as a play on those words of a proverb my mother used to quote to me, you will remember how the seventh day used to be kept. Free of work, certain kinds of activities were permitted, and for most of us, church attendance was an integral part of it. Reverend Bob Giuliano, who is a retired professor and United Church minister, wrote recently in a little article called Remembering the Sabbath. He wrote, "In the past, almost forgotten, when everything would stop, when stopping was considered essential for life, for community, and for sanity." As the people of God, Israel was given the seventh day to be set aside for God. They were instructed not to work, imitating God who rested on the seventh day. Now, I was interested to learn that other Near Eastern cultures ceased work one day a week. For example, in Babylon, everyone stopped working one day a week. It was a holiday. It was a day to enjoy life. But for the Jews, the day was transformed and hallowed by God. And thus, the holiday became a holy day. It became a time out of time, a holiness in time, in which God's people wait to hear the still small voice of God, to find joy and gladness in God's presence, and rest from labor. Israel celebrated it as part of its communal life. Now, the Bible is, if nothing else, is a book about the dangers of false trust. If I had a lot of time, I could prove that. But God's people are warned time and time again about the folly of putting their trust in things, in plans, in programs, in alliances, in armies, in princes, and in themselves. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and trust, you will find your strength. That is the word of God through the prophet Isaiah. Keeping Sabbath was a sign and a symbol of the trust they had in God in order to order their lives aright. As the people, the prophet spoke often about Sabbath keeping. Jeremiah, for example, emphasized the Sabbath tradition as a defense against assimilation to an alien culture and an alien religion. Ezekiel emphasized to the Israelites in exile in Babylon that Sabbath keeping was a symbol which helped them to remain distinct, not to be swallowed up by the society around him. Now, of course, later the rabbis began to interpret what it meant to keep the Sabbath. We always do that, don't we? They developed 39 categories of rules to define what constituted work. For example, you couldn't pick up a tool on the Sabbath, even to move it from one place to another, because that meant you were working. If you were a tailor, you dare not stick a needle in the lapel of your cloak just to have it handy, because that meant that you were working. Penalties were established. Keeping the rules became the focus, and the Sabbath became a burden. It was this twisting of God's intention and the turning of delight into drudgery that Jesus confronted again and again. He said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Now, since much of the Protestant church was touched in some measure by our Puritan heritage, many people, maybe many people here today, remember how the Sabbath was anything but a delight. For some, the Sunday laws of yesterday made it the most oppressive day of the week. And yet, we have to confess that many of us would not have taken time for rest or worship unless somehow we were forced into it. How would Jesus respond to the frenetic way that we celebrate or ignore Sabbath keeping today? I think it is we who would bring trouble into the story today. For us, the misunderstanding would not have to do with keeping rules, but that there are no rules at all. The meaning of Sabbath rest in today's world has been so distorted that even Christians barely give it a nod as we carve out an hour and a half on Sunday morning to think about God. It's not about our keeping a day, however, but it's about our measuring the time of our lives correctly. Our lives have been taken captive to busyness. We have calendars and day timers, Blackberries, to map out our months and our weeks and our days. We can tell time to the nearest second. Our language is packed with time words. Consider, watch the time. Just a minute. I've got time on my hands. Pass the time. A lifetime. Mark time. How many times have I told you? Timetable. Meal time. Time out. When I have time. Not enough time. On time. And we could go on and on. Time preoccupies us. We struggle to manage it. And we talk about it as if we owned it, or at least as if we were somehow in charge of time. Keeping Sabbath, it's a waiting time, a time to wonder, to pay attention to what God will bring into our lives. someone referred to keeping the seventh day, a day for worship and rest, as the rhythm that keeps life human. Now, Peter Gomes is known as the preacher to Harvard University. He's been that for 30 years, started in 1974. And he tells us in this book, the good book it's called, of giving the commencement address at a very posh girls' school in Manhattan. He says these girls were able, they were aggressive, they were entitled young women on the threshold of conquering the world. And he rejoiced with them, and he wished them well, and this is what he says. I took as my text on that bright sunny morning in Midtown that wonderful passage from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, where he asks, Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Neither for Jesus nor for me was this a hostile question. And he goes on to invite his listeners, as I did, to consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin, and yet their heavenly Father provides for them. Are you not more worth than these? It is one of the most lyrical passages he writes in all of literature, one well suited to the overachieving anxieties of prep school. It concludes with a sound advice. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Jesus knew his audience, and I thought I knew mine, and I think the girls liked it, or at least they told me so. All were not pleased, however, and at the reception, the father of one of the girls came up to me with fire in his eyes and ice in his voice, and he told me that what I had said was a lot of nonsense. I replied that I hadn't said it, but that Jesus had. Well, it's still nonsense, he said. It was anxiety that got my daughter into this school. It was anxiety that kept her here. It is anxiety that got her into Yale. It will be anxiety that will keep her there, and it will be anxiety that will get her a good job, and you are selling nonsense. Now, the language of this man was a little blunt, but the sentiments are widely held. It's all about hard work and getting ahead, a break or two, and looking out for ourselves. This obsession with ourselves even comes into play when it comes to taking days of rest. Pick up a woman's magazine from the last few years, and you will see that the Sabbath has come back into fashion, even among the most secular of North Americans. But the Sabbath that we embrace is a very curious one. Articles abound extolling the virtues of treating yourself to a day of rest, a relaxing and leisurely visit to a spa, an extra long bubble bath, and a glass of Chardonnay. Take a day off, the magazines urge their harried, anxious readers. Rest. Now, there might be something to celebrate in this revival of Sabbath, but there are at least two flaws in the reasoning. The first is what we might call capitalism's justification for Sabbath rest. You see, resting one day a week makes you more productive on the other six. And while this may be true, rest for the sake of productivity is very, very much at odds with Sabbath keeping, the true spirit of it. And we could call the second problem with the current Sabbath vogue the fallacy of the direct object. Whom is the contemporary Sabbath designed to honor? Whom does it benefit? Why, the bubble bath taker herself, of course. The rhythm of life, someone has written, for countless people, oscillates between driven achievement and some form of mind-numbing escape. This crazed rhythm, based on a distorted view of human reality, increasingly poisons our institutions, our relationship, and our quality of life. The Bible suggests something entirely different. In observing the Sabbath, one is giving a gift to God and imitating Him. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. To the Lord your God. In the keeping of Sabbath, our souls are deeply nourished. There is something in it for us. We are in no way shortchanged. Now, recently someone suggested to me that we could set aside any day of the week. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't have to be Sunday. Now, I disagree. It is, of course, perfectly true that it's impossible for some people to keep Sunday work free. That's just not how it is. It's very obvious. But the day does matter. In our gospel reading, Jesus answered the synagogue ruler, and he said it was necessary. That's the word used in the Greek. It's necessary that the woman be released from her bond on the Sabbath. And Jesus here is acting in obedience to a necessity which takes precedence over all other obligations, including the Sabbath law. The kingdom of God, in the person of Jesus, has broken in upon the kingdom of the evil one, and the work of liberating all Satan's victims continues 7 days a week. So far from being the wrong day, the Sabbath was actually the best day for such acts of mercy. The seventh day, the Sabbath day, the day that God had given Israel as a weekly release from labor, was a weekly reminder and a taste of the rest that awaited the people of God in his kingdom. To liberate men and women from all bondage, from the reign of Satan, and to bring them under the gracious reign of God, therefore, was to fulfill the purpose for which the Sabbath was given, far from profaning it. For Christians, Sunday is our Sabbath. There's an added dimension. It commemorates not only God's rest, but also the resurrection. God's guarantee of all the promises he has made to us, his continuing presence with us, and the importance now and forever of the lives we live and the way we live them. They matter to God now and forever. The resurrection is a reminder of that. Sunday is the day of the resurrection. Let us remember it by how we live our lives this day, and of course, every day. Because indeed, the better the deed, the better the day. Amen.